Welcome to Changemaker with founder of Gypsy Tea and social entrepreneur Zina Muzika.
This new podcast is to help you embrace change and experience amazing people and entrepreneurs. We're going to be sharing secrets, habits, and change-making abilities with you so that you can apply them to your life and make a life of your dreams.
This is Changemaker with Zina Muzika.
Hi, Changemakers. Welcome to Changemaker. I'm your host, Zina Muzika, and I am here with a very exciting guest today named Julie Ryan. And she is an inventor, entrepreneur, author, and medical intuitive. She works with individuals and healthcare providers to assist in diagnosing medical conditions and in facilitating healing. She also assists individuals and their families who have a loved one in the final stages of their lives as they progress through the dying process. Over the last 30 years, Julie has founded 9 successful corporations in various industries, including the medical, natural gas, long-term care, advertising, data security, and marketing fields. Julie holds several patents and trademarks on surgical devices. Her inventions have been sold for more than 25 years throughout the world by her companies and through licensing agreements with global medical corporations. Wow, Julie, I'm not going to get into the rest of your bio because we have so much to talk about just on that.
It's been a fun adventure.
Oh my gosh, I love it. So tell me about being a medical intuitive and how that began for you in your life.
Well, my husband, I laugh, my husband calls me an information suck. He's never met anybody that's just naturally curious about everything. And I really am. I truly am about all, you know, multitude of items. And a friend gave me a book over 20 years ago that was talking about medical intuitive things. And I was fascinated, obviously, being in the medical supply industry for all of my career and being in surgery a lot, developing new products and seeing what happens. I thought, oh my gosh, this is so fascinating. And so I began to research it, and then I started taking lessons and developed the skill myself.
Well, tell me what a medical intuitive is. Like, what does it entail?
What I do is I raise my vibrational level to, you know, if we go back to our grade school science classes, we learned that everything's made up of energy. If we're sitting at a desk, the desk feels solid because the energy is moving at a very slow rate. Well, there's lots of energy that moves so fast that we can't see it, but we know it works. An example would be microwave energy, microwave oven, or a satellite energy or cell phone energy. You know, we know it works, but we can't see it. So what I do is I raise my vibrational level to a really fast rate, and I can communicate with spirits, and I also can read people's energy fields. And this is normally done, Zina, remotely. So I'm sitting in my office in Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm scanning somebody anywhere in the world. And so what I do is I look at their energy field, and it's almost like I have an MRI or a CT scan or an X-ray in my head on a big screen TV, and I can see broken bones, I can see torn ligaments, I can see bacterial infections, viral infections, cancer, pregnancies. Pregnancies are really fun.
I bet.
if you remember, we've all seen The Wizard of Oz.
Of course.
In our lives, that ball of energy that Glenda the Good Witch rides in on, you know, when she's coming to visit Dorothy.
Yeah.
That's what a baby's energy looks like when it's attached to the mother's energy field before it's conceived.
Oh.
And it sits above the mother's shoulder. And so if I'm scanning somebody and I see that ball of energy, I'll say, are you pregnant, or are you trying to get pregnant, or are you, you know, what's up with that? And I'll be able to let them know they're either pregnant or they're going to be very soon. The other thing that's fascinating to me about that is it's the same for birth moms and adoptive moms.
Oh, that's beautiful.
The adopted baby's energy will hook onto the mother's energy field before it's born.
Mm.
So it goes along with those schools of thought that we choose our parents.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. First time I saw that was a woman I was scanning for a medical condition, and she had a baby's energy above each shoulder. You know, it looked like one of those Glenda the Good Witch energy balls. And I said, are you pregnant with twins? And she burst into tears. And I thought, oh, my God, did I offend this woman? But she said, no. She said, we're adopting babies, and they're supposed to be born in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to, I think it was Guatemala, to pick them up.
Oh, that is so awesome.
So
you raise your energy level to be able to see or communicate with spirits or energies.
Right.
So tell me, how long did it take you to learn how to do that, and why did you decide to do that?
Oh, I think I live in the deep south, and down here you hear the saying a lot, I'm being led to do something.
Yeah.
I think more than anything, I'm being led. I was led to do this over 20 years ago. And how long did it take me to learn how to do it? I don't know. I took classes for probably 8 years. 8 or 9 years, and then have developed it along the way and just have done it so much. It's like riding a bike for me now.
So you didn't have the intention to start out this way. You had,
no. Did,
you know, you and I have chatted. Didn't you have some sort of vision or somebody come to you, or was that later? Can you tell us about that?
Sure. That was later. After I had been doing the medical intuitive scans and working with people around the country, and actually internationally as well, for, gosh, it had been, oh, I don't know, a dozen years. My own mother was dying, and I was bedside with her, and thought, well, I'm just going to see what's going on an energy standpoint. And that's when I started seeing what happens when somebody's dying, and facilitated that with several other people who are in the last phases of their life. And I came up with this model that I call the 12 phases of transition. And I can tell how close to death somebody is by scanning them and in their environment. And I can see how angels are positioned, how loved ones' spirits are positioned, what's going on with the person's spirit, actual spirit. So along those lines, after I'd been doing that for a number of years, I was with my mentor and teacher, and she was doing a healing on me, and this Pope spirit showed up in the room. We all have spirit guides, and this was one I hadn't seen, and he had his whole Pope outfit on, you know, the hat and the vestments and all of that. And I asked him, I said, who are you? And my teacher could see him as well, and he said, well, I'm Clement. And I said, there was a Pope Clement? And he started laughing, and he said, yeah, I was number 6. And he said to me, if you'll just do what you're supposed to do, what you were born here to do, goes back to that being led to do something, you know, you will be able to help so many people around the world. Just do what you're here to do. And then he left. And so afterwards, I Googled Pope Clement the 6th, and I found out that was in office during the Black Plague. And he is best known for his prayers for the dying.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, my goodness. And so my mentor and teacher and I were, you know, were amazed. You talk about a calling. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's much more apparent than a dead Pope showing up telling you to do something.
Oh, my God, exactly. Well, and so you're a very successful businesswoman.
I am. Well, thank you for saying that. You know, I'm a businesswoman. I've been a businesswoman for 35 years, and I'm a self-proclaimed serial entrepreneur. So I have started companies in different industries, as you mentioned, have invented several surgical devices. I have multiple patents and multiple trademarks, and my products are sold throughout the world. So I think that goes into the natural curiosity that I have about life in general and you know, business and architecture and medicine and whatever, music, history.
How are you perceived in your businesses when you tell people that you've had a vision of a Pope coming to tell you that you're going to help people globally with the dying process?
Well, I don't normally talk about that. I've had a
okay, so this is your coming out podcast.
In the you know, in the initial conversation, but what's fascinating to me, Zena, is that my business colleagues and friends who know that I do this, not only do they call me, but now their kids call me, and sometimes their grandkids call me now. Mm. You know, I'm working with one family in general. There's 4 generations with whom I work in this family, and they started out as a business contact. But what I find is that people are fascinated by this. First of all, I think most people in general are fascinated with the spirit world, and especially what happens when we die.
Yeah, I think we all have a sense of its grandeur and its, you know, amazingness, but somehow I like how you were mentioning earlier you had to actually work to get your vibration high enough to see it and to experience it, like a radio wave or a microwave. And I think that's where we forget that we are a big ball of vibrations. And when we're vibrating at a low level, you know, worrying about the worldly things on a constant, we really do lower our vibration. And so we can't see everything. So I think the fascination is there. And I think, you know, you mentioned in our call last week that, you know, this is almost a birthright that we all have.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not one of those psychics who sent dead people stalking her since childhood.
Yeah.
Or if I did, I'd know about it.
Yeah.
I'm saying, I've learned how to do this. We all have the ability. It's just learning to access it. And I talk to people all the time about, you know, ask your intuition. We all have that guidance. That's our spirit. That's our connection to the divine and to the universe. And I don't care how you're raised. It doesn't matter if you're raised in a certain religion or a certain thought process. We all have the innate ability to do that. And to your point, it's just a matter of developing it. And I've been able to do that. There's a prayer, I believe, too, that as we've gone through being more educated, and more of us are educated, and we come from a scientific bent, especially in our Western mindset, that if there isn't proof for it, then it doesn't exist. Well, not so much. If you look at the Aborigines in Australia, they've been communicating telepathically for millennia,
mm-hmm,
you know, across thousands of miles. And that's mom doing. And that's what we all have the ability to do. We've all thought of somebody and the phone rings and that person's on.
Absolutely,
the other.
Absolutely.
Or we think of something that we need to tell our kids, and then our kids come and, you know, and tell us what we're thinking we need to tell them. And we've all had that happen.
Yeah.
And that's all of us tapping into our own intuition.
So tell me a little bit about what our listeners can do to tap into that and be more intentional with it.
Well, the easiest thing that we can do, and it's all what I found throughout these past decades of doing this work, is that spirits are very literal. It all depends on how the question is asked, because the answer can differ based on how the question is asked. And so the formula that I normally use...
Spirits are very literal. Oh, my God. I love that. That is such a tweetable.
You know, you can say, let me think of an example. You can say, am I going to make a lot of money next year? Well, okay, yeah. But unless you ask it really literally, like, am I going to make a lot of cash by next week? Am I going to see money deposited into my checking accounts? You know, am I going to make a lot of money? Maybe you're going to get a tax write-off of your taxes that's going to mean that you're going to have to pay less in taxes, or you're going to get a bigger refund. I mean, it can come in a bunch of different ways. So we have to be very specific about how we ask questions. And I find that if we ask questions in a multitude of ways, it'll give us a better read on what the actual answer is going to be. But the best question to ask that I've found throughout the years is it in my best intention to? And finish the sentence.
Is it in my best intention to?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Is it in my best intention to turn right at the next traffic light?
Well,
is it in my best intention to eat this chocolatey Claire?
Yeah. Well, I would say yes, yes, and yes. So you have spent...
You can ask that about other people as well. Is it in my best intention to, for, or is it Lucy's best intention to go out with this boy, you know, on a date? That may be your teenage daughter.
Got it.
Is it in, let's say your husband's name's Dan. Is it in Dan's best intention to go to work for XYZ company and to accept this job offer? And what I find, Zena, with that is it encompasses all the variables.
Mm.
Because And other psychics and other people who are tapping into their intuition were very accurate on things that are happening at the moment, things that have happened in the past, because they're set. Things that are happening in the future, there's so many variables that can change, you know, like that. We've all seen those movies, Back to the Future or whatever, and when they go and they change something, it affects the future event.
I agree, and I see. I've been working with an intuitive for many years, and she always says there are so many futures to choose from, but these are the potential options, and it's because there's so much.
And I think free will is a huge component as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not just our free will, it's the free will of whoever the other participants are in that future event.
Absolutely, absolutely. And manipulating people's energy isn't necessarily going to be healthy.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Changemaker with Zena Muzyka.
So let me ask you this. So let's talk about the 12 phases of dying, because it's really a fascinating and beautiful. I mean, I found it so comforting when I looked at your chart, and your chart can be found at askjulieryan.com, which is askjulieryan.com, and it's the 12 phases of transition, and there's a chart. Tell me about that, and tell me about the different phases.
Well, what happens, we've all heard near-death experience stories where somebody talks about they're going through a tunnel, and that's, in fact, what the spirit does. The spirit exits through the top of the head. So if you can envision, you know, the spirit's down to the tip of our toes. So as it's exiting the body, it is actually going through a tunnel. And then it hangs on to the top of the dying person's head, and it looks like the bubble of a cartoon caption, you know, where the words are in a cartoon. And so that's how it looks as the person's dying. Now, this can transpire over a matter of seconds or minutes or hours or days or weeks or months. Everybody's situation is different. And so what happens then, that's phase one, the spirit exits the body. And then phase two, the parents' spirits come in. Now, it's the maternal spirits, deceased people, who are the closest to the dying person. So, for instance, my mother's deceased. So if I was dying, my mother's spirit would be there. My mother was still alive, it would be my maternal grandmother.
Interesting. So they don't move on?
Oh, yeah. But if we're made in the image and likeness of God, most people believe, okay, God looks like us. He looks like humans. I don't believe that. I believe we're made in the image and likeness of God in spirit form. And if we believe that God can be in multiple places and everywhere all at the same time, that's what I see with spirits.
Got it.
So that's my interpretation. But it's fascinating to me because we mothers think that we're, you know, our jobs are mostly done once our kids are raised and they're grown and they're out on their own. Well, what I see, Zena, is that the mother's energy, the mother spirit's energy, runs the show as the person is dying. You know, we've all heard of situations where somebody's dying and they'll say, you know, they're talking to like their dead mother or their dead grandmother or their dead relatives, and they must be hallucinating. Well, they're not. Those spirits are actually in the room.
Fascinating.
They're actually having a conversation with them.
So it's God incarnate through the image or the spiritual energy of the maternal in your life.
Well, it's exactly. And it's fascinating to me that the maternal spirit that's in the room runs the show from the spiritual side of things. She is the one that's bringing in angels. She's the one that's bringing in other family and friends spirits who are deceased to support the dying process. And the mother spirit, it's so fascinating for me to watch it because obviously there are other relatives who are still living that are in the room, but the mother spirit, you know, maternal energy is just focused on the dying patient. And she looks like, you know, a mother eagle that is only focused on that. She could care less what else is going on, you know, in the human
Yeah.
But don't you find,
I mean, I've given birth to two babies, fortunately, and I am, I mean, I dream about them. I hear when one of them is coughing in the night. I wake up out of a dead sleep. Like, I am mother incarnate through and through every cell of my being. What about those mothers who are absent or are, you know, I have a lot of friends and, you know, even my mom has come and gone as far as support goes. What about that? What if the mom figure in your life has been weak?
That's a human element.
Okay.
And what I find is that when we go into spirit form, that all of that negativity and all of that drama and all that just stays with the body. Just pure light. It's pure goodness, pure light. And I laugh because I work with people to help get ghosts out of their homes. And I tell them, I sit home, their businesses or whatever. And I say, you know, Casper had it right. Casper's the one with friendly ghosts. All ghosts are friendly. You know, all spirits are pure energy and pure goodness and pure light. So let's say somebody has a mother that abused them and the mother's deceased. Well, that abusive mother, that abusive energy stayed with her body when she died. Her spirit is all good. So her spirit's going to come and direct the traffic.
Well, what is your opinion about that as far as, from your experience, as far as why in the human body are humans so fallible and why are we so pure when we're in pure spirit form?
Well, I believe that we choose the life that we're going to live to learn lessons to evolve our spirits. And I do believe in past lives. I've witnessed many, many, many of them helping clients over the years. And so let's say one, perhaps there's a mother who's abusive to her children. Well, perhaps in a former life, she was that child that was abused. So she came back as an abusive parent to learn that side of the equation so that she could enrich her soul and enrich her spirit and go on and learn other things and, you know, and reincarnate until she got to the point where she learned all the life lessons she needed to learn.
So an abusive parent could have been your child that you abused in a past life.
Not even necessarily yours. It could have been somebody else's child. But
that makes me so sad. It just makes me so sad. I think the biggest issue...
Yeah, there are lots of schools of thought that that we get to choose who our parents are and we get to choose what our life circumstances are going to be when we're born.
Yeah.
So that perhaps it gives us the opportunity to overcome those.
Definitely.
And then use that to teach others in this lifetime and then, you know, perhaps as a spirit guide later on.
It is interesting. I came into my family and it was like I was a mistaken zygote. Like I never understood how to relate to them. And, and I would, my grandma was actually I related to her and she was the gypsy from the Ukraine. But it's interesting as now I've gotten older and, you know, I love and adore my parents for who they are now as they are. But I really found that because I didn't relate to them, I ended up being forced out into nature more because I avoided them. And then I also, you know, strengthened my relationship with the divine by not having a lot of connection with my family. So I think you're right. Now I see it as such a blessing in that I, you know, cultivated this relationship with God and nature and my grandmother. Had my parents been so fabulously delicious and perfect, I probably wouldn't have had these, you know, these experiences of my life. So I think you're entirely right.
I think, too, that when we have experiences that are not optimal, it gives us something to design around. You know, and I go back to my inventions. There were other devices that were on the market that didn't work, and I knew what was wrong with them, and I knew what mine needed to do, so I was able to design a better mousetrap, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And I think that we can do that in all of our life experiences. If we come from an abusive family, well, we can say, we're going to do it differently with our family. And so it gives us something to start off with, and then it lets us craft the reality that we want to create. And that's what we're all about, is expansion. you know, how can we make this better? How can we bring joy? How can we have a better experience for ourselves and our loved ones? And so I've gotten to the point at this stage in my life, I'm in my mid-50s, where I'm grateful for all of my negative experiences, because what it did was it allowed me to create the positive experience that was the opposite. Gave me the fuel, gave me the impetus to say, okay, I don't want that. What do I want? And then create that.
Well, learning by contrast, I think, has been a great gift for, you know, my kids even. Like, they, like with Mia, she learns by contrast. She learns, she's in Montessori. She didn't like regular school, you know? So I think, you know, especially that's so uplifting for our listeners to hear that, you know, everything you're experiencing that you don't love or don't like, you know, is your gift to be able to build the life you do want, because you're not resonating with what's happening right now. And so I think you're absolutely right. So tell us about your past life readings. We're just going to get a buffet of Julie Ryan tonight.
I'll be delighted to do that. Can I finish a couple of thoughts about the 12 phases of
Absolutely. Transition? Absolutely.
What happens is the mother spirit brings in angels, and these are big angels. They appear to me as I call them Stepford angels. They all look the same. Does that mean that that's what they really look like? No, that's how they appear to me, so I know who they are.
Yeah.
The angels are just energy. And they'll form a circle around the dying patient. So when you go to the site, you'll see on the chart the mother and father spirits are at the patient's feet, at the person's feet, and they're surrounded by this circle of angels. As they get closer to death, that circle opens up into a horseshoe, and eventually that horseshoe becomes a straight line across the foot of the person who's dying. During that time, what happens is that many other spirits, families and friends and animal spirits, they all come to be there to greet the dying person to heaven. I call it the Welcome to Heaven Committee.
And oh, my dog Dingo is going to come back for me.
Yeah,
my first dog. I loved him so much.
Absolutely. It's hilarious, you know, because I'll be working with a family and I'll say, okay, there's like a cow in the room. You know, God, it's one of those white cows that looks like somebody threw black paint on them. There's these black spots on them. And the family will say, oh, that, you know, yeah, my mom grew up on a farm and that was her cow Molly. And there'll be chickens and ducks and horses.
Aww.
And cats and dogs. I'll describe what kinds of cats and dogs. And one woman recently, her mother was dying, and I said, there's all these little colorful birds whose little spirits are present. She gasped and she said, oh, my mother's had parakeets her whole life. I said, well, honey, they're all in the room with
her. Aww, I love that.
Yeah, they stand at attention. And that goes along with our American Indian heritage, you know, about mm-hmm. the spirits of animals and mm-hmm. how much they've been a part of that culture. But the other thing that's so fascinating is that at the early phases, like at about phase five, the angels are in a horseshoe around the feet of where the dying person is, if they're laying or they're standing or whatever. And then there are two more guardian angels that show up on either side of that spirit bubble that's attached to the top of the person's head. And as they get closer to death, now hang with me on this, because first time I saw this, I thought, am I really seeing this? But I did, and I've seen it, you know, hundreds of times since. The angel's wings begin to move, and it reminded me the first time I saw it of a giant owl. You know how those wings move and it creates drag? It's mm-hmm. like soft and silent and slow, but you can almost just feel, you know, the drag that it's creating as those wings move through the air. As those wings begin to move of those angels on either side of the spirit, it creates a vortex above the patient's head. So it looks almost like a funnel cloud, you know, a funnel like we'll see in a tornado
mm-hmm.
above the dying person's head. And I can see it, and I can hear it, and I can feel it. And what it feels like is we've all driven through car washes where we've stayed in the car.
My daughter's favorite thing in the world to do, yeah.
The dryer at the end that sucks the water off the car before you exit the car wash.
Yeah.
Is what this vortex feels like to me. And what I've seen it do is it helps separate the spirit from the body.
Interesting.
So the spirit goes through this vortex, and then those angels on either side of the spirit are the escort committee, and they escort the person to heaven. So when I was researching my book, I Googled this, and I Googled owl's wings and drag just for kicks to see what happened. And what I discovered was an owl and a bird, any kind of bird, and airplanes, by the way, as they cut through the air and their wings move, it creates a vortex, which helps upward lift. That's how even that's even the aeronautical engineering in planes. And so I was fascinated that I was seeing a phenomenon occur from the angel's wings that is happening, you know, in our reality with planes and birds. I thought that was wild.
It is wild. It is wild.
And that's what I see happen.
And I love in your chart, like phase, you know, 7 and 8, you know, this horseshoe that is around the feet of the dying is, you know, growing and growing, and there's layers and layers of more friends and family arriving. What if somebody lived a very isolated life, or, you know, wasn't very connected to others? What do you see? Tell me about the variations on the army of friends and family who come for each person.
Great question. And that's a huge point too, Zena, is that nobody dies alone. Because even if they're alone in human form, there are multitudes of angels and loved ones, spirits, who are there to welcome them. And they look like dots on the horizon. There's so many of them. It's just amazing to me. I'm talking thousands and thousands. So if we believe in, like I do, in past lives, you think about how many people you knew in all these past lives. And I've worked with people who've had hundreds of past lives. All those spirits are there to greet them. The other thing that I find so fascinating is that there's a prayer that is said at the end of every Roman Catholic funeral, and it's called In Paradisum. And in the prayer, the best I can tell, it originates from a 5th century Gregorian chant. And it's either said or sung at the end of every Roman Catholic funeral. And what it says is, the angels and your loved ones will greet you and lead you into paradise. Well, that's what I have. So I have to believe that through the ages, people could see what I see, but we've just clamped it down with our scientific mindset, you know, in our, especially in our Western, Western educated society.
Yeah, we're very, we'll believe it when we see it, but it's usually the other way around. We'll, you know, when you see it, or you visualize it, and then you believe it. So.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Changemaker with Zena Muzyka.
So tell me a little bit about past lives. So these spirits come into form, and they are the essence of the friends and family, but they are basically God, you know, becoming apparent through their particular energy for the person. And then the past lives, you know, tell me a little bit about a past life reading and one, cause I really want to get one done. I'm going to hire you to do one for me.
We
could even do one. I don't know if you're comfortable doing one on the podcast. I don't know if I want everybody to know.
Well, I think let's do it privately.
Okay.
There are things that come up, and I do all these scans and work with families and, you know, lots of different things that I do along this energy healing and this medical intuitive stuff, and I treat everything like it's a HIPAA thing. You know, I mean, everything's completely confidential.
Yeah.
If you want to tell somebody what we came up with, that's your prerogative.
Yeah.
But they're not going to get it from me.
Yeah.
So what's been so fascinating with these past life scans is that oftentimes we'll go into a past life, I will, with somebody with whom I'm working, and it will be so descriptive. Like, they'll be in period dress. I'll get years, I'll get dates, I'll get cities, and we'll go back and the person will research it, and it will be validated and verified with historical data. And the internet makes it so easy for us to do that. But what I do is I envision myself walking down this long hallway, and there are these square mirrors, floor to ceiling, individual square mirrors, that are almost like pictures hung, but they're just square mirrors. As I walk down this dark hallway, and I'll say, okay, Zena wants to find out why she loves milk chocolate so much. you know, I'm just coming up with something.
We should and actually then, we should actually switch that to red wine. Well, I think I was French in my last life.
Okay. And so what will happen is it's almost like these mirrors are on a hydraulic arm, and the ones that pertain to whatever the question is will come out at me. And then I'll say, show me the one that's the most pertinent and will be in Zena's best interest. There's that best interest thing again. At this moment in time, and that one will come out the furthest. And then I envision myself walking into that mirror, Zena, in this whole, it's like I'm walking into a movie set. It's wild. And it will give me, you know, I did one with this one woman who the scene was ancient Greece, and she has really bad rheumatoid arthritis in this lifetime. And so in this ancient Greek situation, she was a cripple and she was in the middle of the marketplace, and I could even see they had kind of a makeshift wheelchair that they wheeled her around in, her family. It looked like kind of an early version of a rickshaw that we see.
Interesting.
You know, it had leather, 2-inch strips that were leather that made the seat, and there were wheels and they had these long handles and they put her in it, and that's how they'd transport her around. But what we came up with that was, we got the year, we got the city, we got all that stuff, but what we came up with was that's how she got attention, was people paying attention to her because she was an invalid. And how did that relate in this lifetime with her rheumatoid arthritis?
Mm.
And we went down that path. Well, long story short, within a week, she was able to walk around the block. She wasn't able to do that for years. And
well, the awareness liberated her then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oftentimes in these past life scans that I do with people, I'll see the energy coming out of their body, and then we release it. It's fascinating. It's almost like being in a sauna. You know, you can imagine the steam coming up off of the coals.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it looks
How
like
liberating. Off- what a beautiful gift you have. I mean, I am so glad that you jumped in to follow your destiny. And I mean, were the people around you just, when you decided to start doing this type of work, were the people around you doubters? I mean, what did you face when
because
I think so many of us desire to become, you know, that tool of the universe where we become a, you know, a guiding light for so many, but it's so scary for us to step into our power. And you did this, and you've dedicated so much to it while you've kept successful businesses going, and you just exited another business. I mean, tell me what it was like when you first came out to the world that you wanted to do this.
Well, this definitely takes all the golden ovary energy I could muster.
Did you say golden ovary?
That's awesome. Energy. And, my family, you know, we're never taken seriously, in our own lands or whatever that scripture says, something along those lines, I paraphrase. I think people, especially people that know me, initially thought, oh, my God, she's completely lost her mind. And then when I give them something that's validated, they go, oh, well, maybe I need to pay attention to this. My older brother, Jay, is just a perfect example. The guy, he's just fabulous. And he, you know, he's looked at me like, you're right. Well, one of his friends had a stroke. And one night after I'd been doing this probably 10 years or so, he called me, he said, so-and-so's had a stroke, do your thing. So I did, and I scanned him when he was in surgery, and I said, okay, here's what I'm seeing, here's what I'm getting, and his friend gave me information for my brother Jay to give the father of the friend who was in surgery. And there's no way I could have gotten that information. There's no way I would have had that information. And so interesting note about surgeries, too, because I've been in them so much during my career, you know, designing new devices and testing prototypes and things like that, is that the scene in the 12 phases of transition when somebody is dying is similar in surgery. You know, the loved one's spirits are there. Mm-hmm. Their guardian angel floats over the head of the anesthesiologist, and their surgeon spirits that are advising the actual surgeons that are performing the whatever the operation is. But there's a huge correlation, Zena, to how much prayer is being said for the patient. and to how many spirits are in the room.
Interesting. Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense, because we always pray for people having health issues, and and they do recover so much more quickly. So a prayer circle. So this is amazing. Julie, you know, for our listeners, they can find you at askjulieryan.com. And for all of you change makers out there, I do highly recommend you get into a place of comfort with this energy, because I've seen it work. My godmom is an intuitive and works for the FBI and solving mysteries. And I've actually watched this happen, and it's just so powerful and so uplifting. And so for all of you out there experiencing doubt and kind of crinkling up your nose and wondering what we're talking about, you know, how much more fun and how much more expansive would it be for you to get to play in this realm where you understand this is real and you could have the help when someone you love is dying? Because that's one thing we're all guaranteed, is we will leave this body. So to know that it is beautifully orchestrated by spirit and angels is really just such a comforting thought. So Julie, for just some final thoughts, you know, what would you love for our listeners to know in their hearts, you know, about medical scans or intuitive readings or anything?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, your listeners, I would be delighted if they go to AskJulieRyan.com and they can submit a question about any of this, and I'll answer it in my blog.
Great.
So, you know, it'll be an easy way for them to do that. Secondly, we all have this ability. We all can sing. Some of us can sing better than others. Some of us take lessons. Some of us develop our skills. But everybody has this ability. And so, just remember, is it in my best interest, or is it in whoever's best interest? Ask that question. The answer is going to come in your head within a second. As fast as you can snap your fingers is the answer. If you think about it for more than 2 or 3 seconds, that's your brain working.
Yeah.
The intuition is always going to supersede our intellect. So the right answer is always going to come to us, but it's the first answer you get in us in the first second. So do this and play with it. You know, driving, if you get lost, which direction? Is it in my best interest to turn right? Just start doing it with mundane things and start getting validation. The more you do it, the better it's going to come in, the better at it you're going to be.
I love that. There's a plane flying over the yurt right now, so I was like, it's going to be really loud for a second. So I record, I think all my listeners know I record my podcast in a yurt on my property. But the only bummer is when a plane goes over or my dog starts barking. But Julie, I just adore you, and I'm so grateful that I got a chance to meet you and Beth introduced us, because I think we're going to be really connected for life. And I hope that we can, you know, really help spread the word about what you're doing. I think it's so beautiful, and I'm really looking forward to having a reading with you and talking to my grandma Maria and just experiencing what you do on a personal level. And, you know, for those of you who are listening, I just want to complete our circle of change. You know, changing our minds about what is possible is really a big intention I have for this podcast. And I want you all to be comforted in the fact that there is so much help and there is so much love in the universe. And with all the bad news out there and all the negativity that we see and experience through our eyes and ears, through the news and wars and everything going on in the world, I want you to know that, you know, there is so much light, and all we have to do is raise our vibration to experience that light and to know it's there and to have the faith that it is there. So thank you, change makers, for joining us today. And for any of you who want to contact Julie Ryan, you can go to her website, julieryan.com. I can be found Oh, yeah. AskJulieRyan.com, which is even better because it's active. AskJulieRyan.com. And I can be found on Twitter at Mistress of Tea, per my past life as a tea mistress. And I can also be found on Instagram at Zena1, Z-H-E-N-A-1, and on Facebook at Z-H-E-N-A. Julie Ryan has Ask Julie Ryan on Facebook. I just liked her brand new page. I was the 7th like. And so I want all of you to bum rush over there and like her page. And Julie, thank you again for joining us. And we can be found on Play It and CBS Local. We can also be found on iTunes. So share, and grow the audience for Changemaker. And I'm sending you all my love. Thank you so much.